Okay, we're recording now.
I guess I could say today I was getting a better sense of how I'm always, well, I have a, well, humans, not only me, but humans have a proclivity for knowing things and believing that they know what they know is real. And that's what I've been trying to break, this tendency, because I sense that I could say I know that what John says is so, that what we that everything is illusion, that nothing is real. And I mean, that's what makes it illusion, is that nothing is real according to the way I think things are real. And it's this tendency to believe that what that reality is the measure of what thought says it is, that keeps me from feeling aware of that which is not knowable. And it's what I'm finding, that what's not knowable is actually the what's behind the ability to know. And that, that what we think we know according to thought, because thought makes its own kind of a system of measure of what is real or not. I was just starting to recognize that that's that anything known is only like its own little system of knowing, and the ability to know behind what we think we know is actually, just becoming a little bit more apparent that that's what's real. But I can't say what it is, because it can't be defined or described. So anyway, that's what I was, it was helping me.
One.
If you want to have any criticism of what I said, I'm open to it, because it's still,
No, not really criticism.
I can still think I'm knowing
It,
something by knowing this way.
well, then, and I remember as you were speaking, it came to me when Maharaj was sitting there and the lady was talking about how she was getting into the presence, but then she was kind of scared of the presence and coming back to the presence. And his comment to the whole thing, he let her speak for a while and then said, "Stop all this thinking. Be totally blank. Because the truth is, you are not body, and all the knowledge that you've acquired using this body is false knowledge. So it can appear true, but it absolutely isn't true, because you're not a body. If you acquired the knowledge by using the body, then it's false knowledge, like Maharaj talks about, fake notes. So I don't have to contemplate on the fake knowledge. I just have to remain with the presence, which is, okay, the formlessness, that somehow the formless presence in this body believes that I'm this body in this world, but that's not true. So the body-based relations, not true. The body-based experience, not true. The me that's living a life, not true. And yet, knowing this, I can go about my daily activities and do these things because I know it's absolutely not true. So I don't take the touch. I don't get impressed, but I don't have to think about that. I just have to know that, oh, this experience that I'm having is a body-based experience. I can discard it. This knowledge that I've gained through reading books, the reason the books are there is because the formless presence has this book here to tell the formless presence in this body, you are not body, you're formless. And that's why when Sri Ramakrishna Maharaj rightly says, the main gist of spirituality is accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master, nothing is there. That nothing is the invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity, which suddenly took an identity and knowingness through this body form, that you are not. So all the experiences that came along with the body are untrue. So that's why in the beginning, and not trying to be rude, but stop all this thinking and be totally blank. And as you're totally blank, then this thought flow that's covering your presence, this will cease or slow down at least, and presence will appear. Ah, so that I am that.
Yeah, I'm it's getting easier for me to recognize that and to see that it's just no effort.
Imagine if you were sitting on a beach.
It is becoming somewhat effortless.
But imagine if you and I are sitting on a beach and we're saying that, oh, I am starting to see this sunset. And this is, it's just seen. There's no need to think about this sunset. You know what I mean? As a matter of fact, if you and I are sitting on a beach, we'll ruin the fact that we're watching this very nice thing by talking and conversing about it. Like if you've ever been in a place where it's very nice and peaceful and all that, and then people start talking about how peaceful it is. Like if you're on a nature walk or something, you're walking in nature and someone's like, wow, this is so peaceful. I can't imagine how wonderful and beautiful and peaceful and quiet this is. And you're like, oh, what? You know what I'm saying?
Some people it's like me. I accuse people of commenting too much on things sometimes, and look what I'm doing, you know. But.
And it's not, you know, it's not wrong. It's just that you don't, it's not needed. Remaining with your selfless self and forgetting about Keith and all Keith's thoughts and all Keith's ideas. Think of Keith as no more than a rental property for the time that you have to experience this body-based experience. But Keith is not you. Keith is like your summer home. You know, during the lifespan of this life, Keith is your domicile that you get to experience the world in. But then in the end, Keith gives up his rental property and goes back to his own place. Because there is no Keith. Keith is just the name of, like Maharaj gives the example of the cottage, the beach house, and the house. And when the walls fall down, it's all the space, all in each one. But we are the ones that label it house, cottage, beach house. And then we go further that in reality, like Siddharameshwara Maharaj says, it's not really a house. It's a bunch of mud and sticks. In our case, it's like ground fabricated, some kind of who knows what. But that's the whole idea. It's a conglomeration of the elements put together, and we call it a wall. Well, the conglomeration of the elements put together, and I call it me. Neither is true.
It's becoming easier to catch that as it arises and see that it's not real, or that's not really telling me anything seriously true. And it's like there's no that. It's like I was recognizing how the real me behind it all can't suffer because it's not really wrapped up in
absolutely formless. Formlessness can't do anything. Or like the water you poured into a cup, but if you spill the cup on the floor, the water's not affected. Even if the water dries up on the floor, it's really not affected. It just dries, goes back to the clouds as moisture, and then comes back down again as a different form of rain. So it's just a constant, and that's how all the elements are. The elements just collapse into one another, and dissolve, and then they are built with, you know, one man gets together with woman of whatever kind of species and creates this conglomeration of goo in which presence can identify and say, oh, I am that. And not in that way of saying that, just to know, oh, there's existence. Because the ant doesn't, I mean, I don't know whether the ant says, oh, I'm alive. I don't know if the ant knows it's alive enough. Like Maharaj says, if you pour water, the ant will run, because presence in the body of an ant wishes to continue. This is the first time I've known myself. I don't want to not know myself, because what is that experience like? Well, who can say what the experience is like of not knowing yourself? Because you didn't know anything until you knew yourself. And when you knew yourself, you found yourself in this form-based reality that is not real.
It's like the ant is valuing its experience more than its own reality. And that's what I'm doing. It's like... If you tell somebody, you know, ask them if something is that they've just experienced is real or not, say even something that's right in front of them, they'll say, well, I know it because I'm experiencing it. But I'm finding that experience is not the measure of reality. It's something that's behind that.
Yeah, Maharaj would say, find the experiencer. The experiences come and go. The experiencer that's experiencing the experience has to be there for the experience, because again, you are prior to every experience. So no matter what the experience is, should it be good experience or bad experience, spiritual experience or worldly experience, there's an experiencer there.
So that's why you're sort of like telling me whenever I'm like describing my experiences, you know, sort of forget that.
Yeah, just remain with the source from where this experience was seen. Because this formless seeing is just seeing these objects that are appearing. And once you know yourself in a real sense, you'll no longer forget your, you know, like Maharaj says, you've forgotten your identity. You've forgotten your identity because you've identified with an object within your own self and called it me, I. Also, you believe the thought flow is in the head, rather than seeing that this whole thing is kind of the thought flow, the consciousness, or whatever you want to call it. But you're unchanging. And yet you're prior to all these experiences. The first experience, I exist. And prior to I exist, there you don't know, because you didn't know yourself. You knew nothing. Then after you know yourself, you know so many things that came along with this knowing of you. But all those things that you knew are false because they're based from a wrong seeing or a wrong perspective. All the knowledge that this object, John, has acquired has been from the perspective and perception of being an object with other objects. So all their, like Maharaj says, they're all wrong files. It's like corrupt computer, because I give a computer a task and it's programmed perfectly. But I started out from a wrong assumption that 1 + 1 = 9. And then it goes out and calculates billions of calculations, and it looks like it's doing a very great job. But the wrong assumption was 1 + 1 = 9. And that was the basis from which all other experience and all other knowledge was acquired. You are not body. All body-based knowledge, all body-based experience is untrue. You know yourself in a real sense, and these body-based experiences dissolve. You're still here, but you know that this is just like the dream. And you're the formless dreamer that's dreaming the dream of all these dream characters moving around. But you again, because everyone, I think we talked about last week, all the people who say, oh, when I'm dreaming, you know, I can't knock on this table. You know, how can it be a dream if night after night I wake up? Like tomorrow morning, this body wakes up. That car that I parked today is right out front. exactly in the same space. I know I parked my car there. It's there. In a dream, you won't probably dream that same thing. But that's because those are the short kind of illusory consciousness with itself. And the long consciousness with itself is this body. While this body is here, I'm experiencing this other dream, which has many, many dreams. But this long dream started and ended with the body, when spirit clicked with the body and said, I exist.
But even in the waking state, say you know you parked your car out in a certain spot and you expect it to be there, you don't really know that. So you're actually still creating a dream world made out of memory that's not really, it's convincing, but it's not really, you don't know if it's really true or not. So, but we think it's true. We think that car is there, but that's in this.
This is example, because see, in reality, there's no and I've used this before with other folks who've asked, in this moment, I don't have a job because I'm not there. So I don't need to think about my job. In this moment, I don't have a car because it's not in my direct experience. In this moment, I don't need to think about my car, because if I think about my car, I'm no longer in this moment. I'm out projecting. So from this point of view, there's no car, no job, no sun. There's no outside even. The entire world doesn't exist. It's just these four walls and these six nice folks. So there's nothing. So I don't have to be, that's in the direct experience. And that's when we're talking about the scenes that are coming before you. The seer sees these scenes, but that's all of the entire world is in that moment. And that's actually the reality, because think about it. The only way you can be outside of your house right now is to think about it. But you could place yourself outside of your house by thinking about what's outside. You can even think about the job that you have to do tomorrow and put yourself at your workplace thinking about the things you have to do. But it's all mental. In reality, in your direct experience, the entire world is no larger than a little square around the body that you're identifying with. And in reality, the entirety of that, when you look at that little microcosm, the truth is that all of the world is within your own self. Now what is there to think about? Now you can start to pay attention to your formlessness, because the only thing that's happening, quote, in your experience is right here. Now what'll happen is you could get bored because there's nothing in your experience. So what do? You start to think about something. But reel it back in. That's when they talk about the chariot. And we've said before, you know, that the mind, you're like, whoa, come on now. We're here. I'm not going out that way. Horses want to go this way. No. We're here. We're right here.
It's like boredom is actually creating a dream world that it somehow thinks that there might be something to it, you know.
Well, when you identify with thoughts and you get carried away by thoughts, you have no idea where the current is going to lead you. That's why you stand on the riverbank and observe the thoughts. If you jump into the river, think about fast-moving river. If you jump in, you could say, oh, I'll get out of the river down the way a little bit, but you don't know. Maybe the river is like we see in the movies when they get in the river and then it starts getting faster and faster and faster, and over the waterfall you go. Because when you jump in with the mind flow, you have no idea where it's going to go. And you do have the idea that it's all false, but here I am in this river of thought.
Ranjit once said that he doesn't get bored because he doesn't think.
Exactly.
And so, you know, like when there's nothing there, there can't be boredom. I mean, boredom is a thought. I mean, like, it's got to be mental, as you say.
that's when I start to feel it's like a sense of bliss and just being here, you know, without thought.
And as long as you don't then identify and say, oh, I feel this bliss, because right away, the distraction will be, I hope it lasts. Because the desire and fear, as long as there's a you, the desire and fear, or the principle of pain and pleasure, will always be recreated through the thought flow.
But that one thing about the bliss is you can't really depend on it. Like if you depend on the bliss to take you out of boredom, it's like, well, you're not going to feel the bliss because of that or something.
Well, and at the same time, too, the bliss, I don't know what you're speaking of in the bliss, the presence that you can dip the cup into that. And this is a perfectly acceptable thing. As a matter of fact, this is what you want to do. If you're starting to sense the presence, even the size of a dime during meditation, know that that presence is always there for you to roll it back. Here's the world, I'm rolling back. And as you roll back more and more and more, it's like you're taking a glove off in reverse. You're looking and kind of discarding all these things that were disturbing this nice peace. Because the lack of peace is only when there's something there and then a someone to witness this lack of peace. Otherwise, there's just peace. And at the highest level, there's no... You don't need to have your peace disturbed ever because nothing is so important. Maharaj talks about you take the world very, very lightly. Everything, light, light, light. Okay, light, light, light. Loose clothes. You wear the body like loose clothes. Along with the loose clothes body came this world. So if I'm wearing the clothes loosely, I can change just, okay, don't have to be affected by any of the things that are going on. Because I'm not even feeling the clothes I'm wearing. They're so loose.
Exactly, do you think, what is boredom exactly? Is it because the mind expects something to be going on and it's not, and so therefore it's a mind created thing, right?
Well, boredom is basically the thought, I am bored.
But there's something that's deeper than that. There's some kind of discomfort that comes with it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're speaking about the fact that beingness, like Maharaj says, beingness is intolerable. Like it's all of these, because you can't sit quietly when you're identified with a mind and body that's constantly in turmoil. You have to know yourself in a real sense and see this mind and body as just kind of instruments that came along and that you are not. But if you're identified with a mind and a body, then yeah, the mind flow is going to, it's going to be, you're going to be jumping in the river and being carried along. But not identifying is sitting at the side of the river and watching all the things flow by without comment. And that's remaining with your selfless self. Be with you always. And that's, you know, there can be no boredom when you're with yourself and you're just with yourself without being anything.
I guess that's because there's no expectation. The self doesn't have an expectation.
But even seeing, again, and we're starting to dive back down into body-based illusion to speak about these things. Remember that everything that is occurring with the body, all the body-based experience, all the body-based knowledge is absolutely illusion. You remain formless. Formless presence that knows I'm the formless presence in the body, but I'm also all around the body and I'm in all the bodies and my presence is in every being. And so I'm not trying to figure out why I'm thinking this, because this thought doesn't matter. Why am I depressed in this moment? For my own self, in the beginning, I remember Maharaj said, be depressed. Fine, okay. You know why this body is depressed? It's a five elemental body. Changes are going on inside the five elemental body. If the mind is presenting a thought as to why I'm depressed, because maybe I didn't get a promotion or something. No, that's not true. The truth is there's a disturbance in the five elemental body. And that's all. And I don't have to think about that. I just have to know in this moment, there's a disturbance in the five elements and I'm sensing that. And that's it. Just like sunny weather doesn't complain about a tornado coming through suddenly and say, oh, why is this tornado coming? Oh, what did I do to deserve a tornado? No.
I think that what makes boredom arise is our belief and expectation that, and assumption that we actually know supposedly objectively what value is. But I was reading Nisargadatta, and he was, I could get the page, but he's talking about everything subjective is not real, and only the objective is real. And I still don't quite understand what he means by objective, I am recognizing what subjective is.
The objective is not real. The subject, you are the subject.
Well, the way he was,
from the subjective point of view,
how he's explaining it, though, in this particular situation, he was explaining it in sort of reverse terms, that he was placing all our normal sense of what we think of as objective is actually subjective in the conceptual sense.
Because when there's no you, there's no other. When you're an object, then you see objects and you believe you're the subject seeing other objects. But when you're with your selfless self, there are no others, there are no objects, and there is no you. There has to be a you before there can be other objects of your observation.
Right. But as soon as you assume that objects exist as you know...
But that would be you again. You have to erase you. And once you know that there's no place, then... Subject-object is no longer a question because it's just, there's no you. As long as you say, John is formless and John is viewing these other objects, there's subject-object duality. But when there is no John here, and there's literally no thought about being in a body form, there's just this formless seeing of seeing. There's no need to label, there's no need to comment, there's no need to do anything. But if I believe that I'm the subject, then there are other objects appearing. And then I naturally objectify myself because I'm the subject viewing objects. Not true. It's just a scene and a seer, but there's no identification for this seer. There's just seeing. It's not a... there's no separation. There's no duality. Duality has to be, I'm here, so there's a you. If I don't know myself as something, then there won't be other things. It'll just be myself. And that, again, is like how you could see the world as the same as you're imagining, because you're in this body, that this thought flow is projecting pictures and images. You could say, I'm this body, and I'm in the mind, I'm seeing pictures and images. But when you know yourself in a real sense, then the entire world becomes this thought flow of just you don't sit there and have deep conversations or arguments or anything with people inside your head. You know what I mean? So it's the same here. They're just thought forms and just arising, and there's no interacting in that way. I don't know that I can explain in this way, but it's there's no interacting with anything, because it's just as if you were to be a little guy and go inside your ear in duality. This is just example. A little guy and go inside your ear and then see all the thought flows. See the thoughts about your job and the people at your job. See the cars and the traffic you're thinking about. Thinking about what you have to do tomorrow. And you're just this little guy watching all of this, but you're not interacting with it. These are just what's going on inside this mind. This is example again. Now, know yourself in a real sense, and the entire world becomes what's going on inside your mind. So there doesn't have to be a lot of subject, object, what's happening, all this kind of stuff. You're just... You're kind of a little guy that popped inside and saw the mind. And you're using this body form as a telescope to see inside the mind, so to speak, and only as an example.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But just as for reference point, the chapter, it's in I Am That. It's page 55. He says the title of the short chapter is Reality Lies in Objectivity. And to try to understand that conceptually is not, you're not going to understand it, I guess. But anything, if you're not really going to understand it fully if you try to understand it conceptually. Which I've been doing.
And again, remember, don't take even the master and the master. Sri Ramakant Maharaj says, read the books, but read the reader. You know, just like Nisargadatta Maharaj has told someone before, don't read Gita from the position of Arjuna. Read it from the position of Krishna. And people are like, whoa, you cannot say this thing. This is very blasphemous and all this stuff. But that's the truth. What Krishna is describing in the experience is your experience. That's your selfless self. And what Nisargadatta Maharaj, when he is speaking, remember, he's not speaking to a person trying to figure this out. It's consciousness speaking to consciousness. For him, there is no doubt about that. It may be somebody who has a doubt, as, you know, the formless presence in this body has a doubt that it's formless. So it goes to this other body that knows it's absolutely formless and explains to the formless presence in this body, you just have to unwind these body-based knowledge in this way, and you will be free of this illusion of separation. Speaker and listener are one.
Yeah, that's like the story of the lion that was raised with a bunch of donkeys or something, and he thinks he's, and then the big lion comes along and takes him over to the pond and says, look, you're the same as me.
Yes. And that's the reflection and the projection. The speaker and the listener are one and the same. And that formless presence, which is speaking and listening in these body forms, is recognizing this deeply. And that's why Maharaj says, the lion, he tells the cub, you are a lion like me. And he takes him so he can see his reflection. This is important. See his reflection. He says, look, the shoulder of a lion. Oh, look, you have this. So what do we say? We say, you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain body. The presence in this body has no doubt that it's not body. This has been unwound because this presence in this body went to the presence in Sri Ramakant Maharaj. And the presence in Sri Ramakant Maharaj knew without a doubt, I am not, and just told this presence, you are not body. So that's showing the shoulder. And then you show this, the back and the legs. And eventually it's, oh, so that I'm a lion. I'm not a goat and sheep. Even though I was raised with these goats and sheep and I used to eat grass, that was not me. That was not my identity. That was me like trying to mold myself into something that I absolutely was not. And Master says, you are not body, you're formless. And because of you are formless, none of these body-based experiences are true. Even this body-based experience that you're having right now within this bubble of illusion that you're coming to another person and saying, oh, I surrender to you and it's finished. That also is occurring within the bubble of illusion. And it's actually not true. The experience of surrendering to the master is not true because you are not body, and that's a body-based experience. Only now presence knows yourself in a real sense because it's like, oh, okay. And then whether body's here or not, I am. Whether the world is here or not, I am. The entire world is a projection of my spontaneous presence. And I need not get involved. then you're happy, happy, happy. You get to live in this world and play in this world and enjoy yourself. Because now you know yourself. Once the body's not anymore available for keeping the essence, you know, the moisture in the body, the essence is not able to be sustained, then you will no longer know yourself. But you'll still very much be. While you have this body and while you've heard this good news, investigate yourself and formless devotion. Remember, this presence that you're trying to remain with, you remain with this presence through the images of the master, through bhajan, through knowledge, through going and listening to Maharaj videos and such, and continuously worshiping your selfless self, which that's all there is, but you're using this body form for something that's of value, to know yourself fully. And once you know yourself, then there's nothing really to know, and there never was anything to know, because even this knowing of yourself could only be done within this body-based experience that is not true.
I think the greatest attachment are our thoughts. I looked at the Ramana Maharshi. I have a very old book, The Spiritual Teachings of Ramana Maharshi. It was put out by Shambhala Press many, many years ago. It's just a tiny, thin little book. But he says, someone asked him, what is detachment? And he said, detachment is destroying every thought in its place of origin. And, you know, it's the thinking that, it's the thinking itself is the holding on kind of to everything. It's, you know, like it's, it, I mean, we think, so we just continuously think. But, you know, so just to be able to, destroy the thoughts. It's just realizing that they're not true, I would imagine.
It's not so much destroying the thoughts. The first thought is I am.
Right.
And
well, that's why he says, go, you know, with that inquiry, it's like bringing it back, dissolving the I am in the heart of the self.
Well, Kathleen has the picture of the spiritual instruction of
Bhagavan.
There you go. Okay.
Sitting right next to my computer.
Okay.
There you go. But yeah, destroying the thought, because that's what we talked about, I think, before too, about destroying the doubt is destroying the doubter. Because you can destroy one thought after another thought, but you have to go to the source of all thought. And that presence is behind everything. Like, just like before you speak, if you sit here, before you speak, the presence is there to allow for the speaking. So the presence is prior to the word. Well, the word came through mind before it came through the mouth. So the presence is also prior to this thought arising in mind. So you remain there prior to the idea, I am, I exist as something. And that's it. There's no... And seriously, in the thought flow, remain with the presence. Thinking stops. Like, it just stops. There's no, because there's nothing to think about. You're, the only mind flow is the things that go on in the so-called world. I would say that becomes the mind flow, maybe, because that's the activity. In the thing that you used to call mind is dead, basically. But now the mind is out here, and the world is appearing in this consciousness, much again as in dream.
Today, I noticed what my mind was doing, and that loosened, it destroyed, it did make me detached in a sense. I was recognizing that what I normally, I go through life constantly thinking about what's good or bad for me. And I noticed that I don't really know what is good or bad, or especially good. Mostly I'm concerned with what's good, and I'm focused on what I think I know feels good, so I do it, and I think I can put action into effect to make it the way I think that I believe that the feeling good is there because of my actions. And I think I really, everything that I think I value, like even music or something, I think it's good because I know it's good, but it's not that I was seeing that that's not really true, that
remove the body and then explain what you just explained.
It's not up to me.
If you're not a body, how would you explain what you just explained? Take away the idea of Keith, the mind, the body.
Well, I wouldn't have to explain it at all. But I mean, as far as how would I explain it, I would just say that
you're formless. So where's the I, and where's the experience? You just took away your body. You're just a formless, floating nothing.
I would just say that the experience was an imagination and it's just an imagination. It's starting to lose its effect on me.
Because remaining with the presence, truly, we have to break out of these concepts of mind and thinking and figuring it out. Because there's a belief in duality, there's truly a belief that there's someone that's figuring it out. But when you are in the body-based illusion, everything's false, everything's true. Nothing's false, nothing's true. So you can look at it in 100 million different angles, and it all turns out to be dust. Absolute nothing. So remain with your selfless self, mantra, invite the attention of the invisible listener, remain with the sense of presence using the body form. And that's it. Thought comes in about, I want to think about, no, I'm going to remain with the presence. If I don't yet sense this presence using body form, that means I just need to sit, more meditation, sitting quietly, and mantra. Okay, mantra's running. Who knows mantra's running? I'm here. Okay, I'm just here. That's it. Just you. Just I. Nothing. Nothing to think about, just I, because what is there to think about? There's nothing. There's just I. Just this sense of presence, subtle sense of presence. Just I. Thinking about what? No. Just I. Go about your daily activities, fine. Don't think about spirituality. Don't think about no spirituality. Don't think about anything at all. Just be blank, be open, aware, without being like, mentating about awareness, just I. And then using mantra as a little broom, because these concepts are here. I know that every concept is just, every concept, every doubt is just my understanding myself as something other than the formlessness that I am. I'm creating a form for myself. I'm the water, and I'm pouring myself into a cup and now saying I'm a cup of water. No, I'm just water. I'm appearing as a cup of water in the moment, but I'm just water. So just die. Use mantra, sweep it away. Don't need to think about anything. Okay. Something's happening over here and I don't like it. No need to say who's this I that don't like it. Just know, it's illusion. More mantra. Mind is starting. Mantra. Just I. Remaining with I. sense of presence.
Does it make a difference, for instance, like before our getting together this evening, I watched a little piece by Ramakant Maharaj on the self-inquiry. And he said that, you know, and one of the Russian fellows, I think, there asked him, you know, about inquiry and why some people like to spend 10, 20, 30 years doing inquiry and it doesn't work. And he said, because they're going from a body base.
Yep.
So is it the same with the mantra? Like, I mean, for instance, like, does it make a difference if there's the awareness that this I'm not doing the mantra. The mantra, in a sense, is, you know, like the invisible, the invisible listener is like the invisible mantra, whatever, you know, the one that does the mantra is also that invisible presence is actually doing that. And I think it's, you know, like, so it's the same with maybe the inquiry. From where does this mantra arise, kind of, you know, from where did this, you know, this inquiry arise, from where did this mantra arise in the first place to even be said? Kind of like, is that, do you see what I'm saying? Like there's a...
Well, there's a concentration on the concentrator, meditating on the meditator, because the whole idea is that you're unwinding all of this false illusory stuff. That's why the mantra is like a broom or like the antivirus software. Your corrupt files are, I'm someone and these are my experiences. I store these experiences in memory and I seem to think from this wrong perspective that this is actually occurring. So mantra erases these files. Mantra sweeps this broom. And once it's swept, the presence is there. Like the only thing, that's why, okay, ash, that's what Maharaj uses. He says, fire's here. Here's the ash. The ash is all the thoughts about yourself. You're removing these with mantra. And yes, it's a deliberate act. In the beginning, you need to have a deliberate act. This presence that you are seems to be more interested with the illusion because of a long association with the body. There's a belief that there's some benefits. The only benefit is you can use this body to erase all these illusory layers and know yourself. Fire's there. Covered with ash, remove the ash, fire's burning, burning bright. Presence,
After a while, doesn't it become more, or it becomes less intentional? It's like it begins to just happen on its own, kind of. It's like...
Presence should feel from, as the body is dissolving, presence will feel like it's expanding. Hello, Rami. The body is dissolving... presence will feel like it's expanding. This is not true. You're just freeing yourself from all these illusory layers that seem to be covering presence. So there will be a feeling of expansion as far as, and also the mind may feel like, ooh, I've lost all my support. I'm dying, basically. I'm leaving because all these illusory layers and all this thinking is dissolved and presence. So it's not that you're, see, presence is, you are not. You're just removing these, and that's why Nisargadatta Maharaj says, he says, remain with the I am. If you remain with the I am, and when people start talking about something, he'll say, no, no, no. Remember, remain with the I am. The I am will pull you in. What does I am pull you in mean? It clears these illusory layers. You remain with the sense of presence. This sense of presence, that's all there is. And as you're remaining with presence, you're naturally unwinding all the false illusory layers that have been covering presence. And the practice of the mantra is inviting the attention of the invisible listener, because presence is here. Presence knows only from itself as this body form. Mantra is running and clearing the illusory layers, and it's a clear mirror. Presence is like your own self in the reflection of mind and felt as this subtle bliss, this subtle Satchidananda, whatever you want to call it, dipping your cup into the nectar of immortality and sipping. Selfless self-intoxication. Selfless self-intoxication means here's the mind. It's completely clean and clear. And presence is now just reflecting off this beautiful blank screen. And that's the only thing that comes to awareness is this presence, just presence. And when you get too lost in the world, oh, go back to presence. Eventually, you don't have to go back to presence because you are presence. But as you're still kind of unwinding these body-based illusions, and there's even the tiniest bit of thinking that you're really a body, you just dissolve these thoughts, dissolve these layers of illusion, and remain with your selfless self.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Sir, the call started. Call started now.
Because we did the. That's what we thought when we talked about in the beginning. It jumped. We jumped an hour. So we've been on. Oh my God! Actually, it's 8:15 right now. We're just leaving.
They call it daylight savings time.
Yeah, in America, we do this crazy thing where twice a year, one time a year, we drop the clock back. Then the next time a year, we drop the clock forward. And that kind of messes. I know you guys don't do that. Right now, in your country, it's probably, what, 5 o'clock, yes?
Yes, sir, like it's 5:45. Generally, this is the time.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry about that.
I mean, if you have a question, do you have a question or you have a little bit? We'll stay for you a little bit of time. I don't mind.
No, sir. To hear your voice itself, that's enough, sir. Thanks. I'll watch the video.
The truth is, nothing was said. Nothing was said. Nothing was happening. Nothing.
Yeah, sir. Like, somehow, reading again, and Quora, it is giving that the whatever is being perceived, it is like, it is just appearance, that is just illusion, that actually reality, it appears that it is real because the false identity.
Yes.
Believing that I am so-and-so.
Yes.
So that's
evident. And the body-based experience itself, everything that this body is collecting is false because you are not body. All the body knowledge, false. All the body relations, false. All the body-based experiences, false because you are not body. Now you just need to remain with presence and discover this for yourself. That's the last hour summed up in 4 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. Sir, it is too much to ask you. Is it okay, like any time during the week to talk with you? I think I already attempted this one.
Truly, this is... I get an email from Kathleen and it pops up and says 7:15. So I copy and paste and I put it in the website, Ramakant Maharaj Dakshina. And I put that in the YouTube video. And then I don't really think about anything more of any of this stuff. And then another email will come and it'll be there. And well, now that's not true. I won't fit because tomorrow morning, Kathleen will send and say, oh, here's the recording. So then I download that and I upload it to YouTube and upload it. But other than that, I'm not like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not thinking about speaking about anything. It's just, this happens, it pops up and here we are. But throughout the week, I have a job and I have some different things that I do and I have my son and there's just... It's just spontaneous happening. So to try and set more time aside just for speaking about nothing, I mean, not to be offensive, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, just remain with your selfless self. And we can get together on this talking and, but on a personal thing, number one, I know Maharaj was pretty against the whole personal one-to-one thing. Because the more one-to-one time, then you start to believe that it's a person to a person. Because everything that's spoken about, even if you just listen to the videos, if you go listen to Ramakant Maharaj videos, it's all directed towards you because it's you speaking to you. Whether it was spoken about on the video, it says, oh, it was 3 years ago that this speaking happening. No, that's you speaking to you right now in the form of Sri Ramakant Maharaj. And you can go back and listen to Nisargadatta Maharaj, and it doesn't matter what time frame or what he is speaking to you, because it's you speaking to you. And that one that's speaking is outside of time. So it doesn't matter if it was recorded in 1945. The recording is just like Maharaj says, the chemical, but the speaking is happening now because that speaker is outside of time. The listener is outside of time, but the listener who believes that there's someone speaking has confined themselves to the idea of being a body form listening, but there's no time, no body, and you're always speaking to yourself. I think Sri Ramakant Maharaj says it's a dialogue from selfless self to selfless self, because that's all there is.
Just false identification, sir. Just, you know, your constant hammering is boiling down to one thing, false identification. That's it. That's the only thing one can do.
Yes. All the anything that was acquired with this body, including this conversations and all this, all the body-based experience, all the body-based knowledge is absolutely untrue because you are not a body. You were not a body. You're not going to remain a body. It's the long dream because there's a body here. Once this body is no more, this long dream is over. It's finished. And that's it. The dreamer will still be there, just not dreaming this dream. So everything is illusion. And this is just impressed. The easiest way to impress this, as you're in this body, use this body to know yourself in a real sense. Like Maharaj says, this is a golden opportunity. A golden opportunity because you're in a human body. You can take the formless presence that you are. That is this body to know yourself through the concept of duality and the illusion of experience. You can know yourself. Oh, it says the internet connection is unstable.
Yeah, you cut out for a minute.
Cut out for a while. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's you know, this is what happens. But I was going to tell Rami, you know, I send you the recording. When you'll get an email tomorrow, and you'll hear tonight. You didn't miss anything.
No.
Nope. Sure, sure. Next week,
as a matter of fact, spend this time mantra. Sit and just mantra. Keep quiet. And from this moment of waking up, just I, carry that throughout your experience, throughout your day. Whenever something tries to cover the eye or the eye starts to form as something, just I. Mantra brushes it away. No dirt on the mirror. Keep the mirror clean. Keep using mantra.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Jai Guru.
Thank you.